Good morning. How's everybody this morning? Good, good. We're glad that we're a little bit north of that hurricane. We want to just keep praying for those folks down south. Glad that you are spending your Sunday morning with us. Hope you feel the love of Christ in this place. If you are a first-time visitor or a new visitor and have never let us know who you are, we would love to know who you are. And there's a blue card in the seat pocket in front of you. Invite you to fill that out. You don't have to do that, but we would love to meet you, know who you are. And you might, I'm not saying for sure, you might get some cookie dough out of the deal. I'm just saying. So if you like cookies, that's another incentive. Some of you that are, no, you don't get cookie dough if you're a member of the church. Sorry. I might get hooked you up, so come see me. I'm glad that you're here this morning. You can just leave that blue card in the seat pocket in front of you if you fill that out. I'm sorry, not in the seat pocket, in the seat right there where you are. I want to, before, if you'll turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, before I go into the scripture, I want to talk about a word that you're going to hear, and we're going to read five verses here, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 17. We're going to read through 21, and you're going to hear a word a form of the word five times in these five verses, and the word is reconcile. And we don't use that word all the time, but I want to kind of give you some ways to think about the definition of that word, to reconcile, to be in harmony. You know, some of you strange, like Dave Roberts, some of you strange accounting type guys, y'all reconcile the books, yes? It means that you want them to jive. You want them to be in harmony with the actual money or whatever that you're counting, and you want them to be in harmony. So to be in harmony, to reconcile, to restore in a spiritual sense, to restore to divine favor. That's the one I like. I want us to think about that for a second. To restore to divine favor. Which means when you're talking about restoring something, that means that it's been lost. Divine favor has been lost, and to reconcile is to restore divine favor. So with that in mind, beginning in verse 17, 2 Corinthians 5. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we have invited you, and you are indeed welcome here. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to come and to speak in power and authority and transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Today's message, well, before I get into today's message, I want to just kind of put out a heads up. In two weeks, the Sunday after Labor Day, I'm gonna begin a sermon series entitled "Tough Issues," and we're gonna be spending about five or six Sundays talking about just that, tough issues of our day. You know, I believe all the things. Is anybody else noticing that our world is kind of messed up? I mean, we're kind of confused. And I believe that God, the Lord, has been convicting me that we need to hear from God's word about these issues that we're facing. And so we're going to be starting that series in 2 weeks. So just a little heads up there. Today's sermon is new creation, new creation. This passage speaks of new creation. So we're going to be talking a little bit more today about what that means. But what comes to my mind as I read that scripture about new creation is the butterfly. Don't you just love the butterfly? I mean, the more you read about the butterfly and how the butterfly becomes a butterfly, it's just amazing to me. But the process is known as metamorphosis, transformation. The butterfly starts, there's four phases. I kind of showed you some pictures here. There's four stages of life. A butterfly begins as an egg. And that egg becomes larva, which, go ahead and go to that next, which we know is a caterpillar. And then that caterpillar begins to have the transformation or the morph into pupa, I believe is how you pronounce that, which is, we also, is that right? Pupa, which we also know as a chrysalis, which is just that what you're seeing there. Now, I want you to think through those three slides that I just showed you, and none of them are really all that attractive, are they? I mean, you know, the chrysalis is just, you see those hanging underneath leaves? Anybody ever see those hanging underneath? That will someday become, go ahead and show us, the adult butterfly. How can something that's so, really, in all honesty, kind of disgusting, the other three stages as leading up, how can something become something so beautiful like that? That's what we're going to be talking about today, this metamorphosis, this transformation that happens through Christ. And so I'm going to point out three points that I want us to really kind of let them sink in today from the scripture. The first is that reconciliation. Now remember, that word is to restore to divine favor. So reconciliation with God, restoring divine favor with God, requires being in Christ. Being in Christ. Now, the verse 17, as it begins there, says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. What does that imply? If you're not in Christ, you're not a new creation. You're still, no, this is maybe kind of a weird way to put it, but we're still this kind of ugly thing hanging under the leaf. We haven't become the true butterfly. We haven't become this new creation. So if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. In other words, anyone outside of Christ is not a new creation, has not been restored to divine favor. Now, I get this question all the time from people that, well, what about people that never hear about Jesus, you know, and so forth, or, you know, are they going to heaven and all of that kind of stuff? Well, I addressed this a few months ago in a passage in a sermon. Let me first say, it's not my job to assign heaven or hell to people. That's not my job. So we'll let God work that out, okay? We'll let God work that out. But it is my job, and it is all of us in Christ to share the name of Christ. And so we understand that Christ makes things new. So if you are in Christ, you're a new creation. Which leads me, I'm going to move on to the second point. Reconciliation with God. Remember, restoring to divine favor. Reconciliation with God requires transformation through Christ. Transformation through Christ. Listen to the passage. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ. The gift of transformation comes by God through Christ. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I mentioned this this pottery, and I wanted to bring it today. This is a pot that Cheryl and I bought at a few years ago at a marriage retreat, and it's, I believe you pronounce it, Raku pottery. Now, I'll set this up here on the table. You can see it closer afterwards. But this pottery, what happens is the potter forms the pot out of just a hunk of clay. They form the pot. And you can't really see it probably from your seat, but the colors on here are just exquisite. They're kind of a translucent type colors. But they heat the pot to as hot as the kiln will get, which is usually around 3,000 degrees. They heat the pot and they take it out and they put it in what's called a reduction barrel. And in that barrel, it's a cooling barrel, they put all kinds of just junk, just trash and, you know, old scrap pieces of paper and pieces of seaweed or whatever that they can come up with, and they put it in this reduction barrel as it cools, and when they take it out, these beautiful, amazing colors are part of the pot. And I'll leave this up here for you to look at, but as we talk about this transformation, I think about that process of, it's just, you know, they just tear up just junk and put it in this pot, and it produces this beautiful, amazing colors to the pot. I think about that. Apply that to your life. All the junk in our lives, when God gets a hold of us and God begins to transform us, He takes all of that junk and He makes beautiful things. You know, and so there's this idea of transformation through Christ. Now, here's this. You're going to hear more about this in a couple of weeks when I deal with these tough issues of our day. But here's what's going on in our culture. In our culture, we're trying so hard for ways to justify sin in our lives. When I was doing my theological training, some of the people who want certain things to be normal behavior, they've gone in and they're actually changing what the meaning of the Greeks, like, well, that doesn't really say that. You know, of course, everybody's been saying it's said that for 2,000 years. Like, well, that really says this. And so we have to work so hard at justifying sin, but rather than seeking the power of Christ to transform us. Do we understand? Shake your head if you're hearing what I'm saying. If Christ, you will never hear someone who is advocating these things in our culture who, for Orthodox Christianity for 2,000 years, we've said, no, that's not what we believe as an Orthodox Christian. That's not what we believe. And we work so hard at trying to justify the sin, and you never hear anyone on that side of the discussion that talks about the transformation that has happened in their life through Christ. I encourage you, if you find people that talk about that have that sort of position on these issues, where they say, you know, Christ changed me. He changed my life, and now I see things this new way, which is in line with the culture, the trends of the culture. We don't hear that because we're working to change the definition of sin rather than seeking the transformation of Christ. Hello, that was good. I didn't even know. That had to be from God. We are seeking to change the definition of sin. Since God said it, I'm going to say it again. Rather than seeking the transformation of Christ. When Christ transforms us, He creates new things out of old ugly things. The sin in our life, the brokenness in our life, the bondage of our life, all the things that bind us down. You know, so we work so hard in our culture to try to make sin acceptable and say, oh, well, that's not really, if we really love people, then we got to redefine this. That's really love. And it's like God tells us these things are sin because He loves us. He knows that when we lie, it produces bad stuff in our lives. So He tells us, don't lie. It's bad. It produces brokenness in our lives. Be transformed by Christ. He makes all things new, the Word says. Romans says it this way, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed Be transformed. And again, I know I'm beating this horse is almost beat to death here, but I'm just telling you, we work so hard to conform to the world rather than being transformed by Christ. Jesus, as he's discussing this with Nicodemus, I love this passage out of John 3. Nicodemus is a Jewish leader, and he's sticking a toe in the water with this Jesus thing. He's trying to figure out, he's kind of curious. It's like, maybe Jesus really is the Messiah. So he gets Jesus, and he has this meeting with him, and it's kind of in the night when it's, you know, nobody can see. And here's how Nicodemus starts the conversation. He says, I know that you must be a powerful prophet of God, because nobody could do the things that you're doing unless they were from God. And he's giving Jesus a spiel, and Jesus just stops right there and says, I'll tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. So Nicodemus is wanting to have this big discussion, and Jesus just cuts off and just, it's like Jesus is answering a question that Nicodemus didn't ask, but Jesus knew that's what was going on. He's trying to figure this out. So Jesus says, no one can enter the kingdom unless he's born again. Transformation. Being transformed by Christ. So the Christian journey is not, and I've said this many times, it's not do this, don't do that. It's not a set of rules and how to be. It's not being a good person, even though that's great. Be a good person, you know, obey the law, all of that stuff. But it's about new life, new creation through transformation with Christ. And then finally, if we get this. This idea of being transformed by Christ, and if Christ has transformed us, that leads to number three. Reconciliation with God requires us to share it. It's not, I've kind of toyed with this as a goofy little illustration. Remember, were you here the Sunday I gave you a ticket to heaven? A few of you were. You know, salvation and being a new creation is not, I get my ticket and I put it in my pocket and now I just go on about my business. That's not what Christ is calling us to do. It goes on in this passage today. God gave us the ministry of reconciliation. If you are a new creation in Christ, if Christ is your Lord and Savior, you have been given the ministry of reconciliation. And he has committed, here it is again, verse 19, he has committed to us this message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. Now, I don't know, you know, it's really prestigious in the political realm to be an ambassador. You know, I'm the ambassador to Australia from the United States of America or whatever. You know, when you go and you meet with that other country that you're the ambassador to, you are representing the United States. If you say it, the United States is saying it when you are an ambassador. So we are Christ's ambassadors. So as we behave, as we share this message of reconciliation, we are representing him.